Hello and welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. I'm your host Jack Quigley. With me is Christian Leyland, co-founder of the Football Sack. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Quigley.
I'm sure it's good to be here.
That's amazing.
This is our first podcast for the show, for the site.
Exciting times.
It is exciting times. The Football Sack is... Tell us about the Football Sack.
Well, if you want to get into the sack, it's www.thefootballsack.com. It's the latest website devoted to the A-League and the Asian Champions League, with opinion polls, opinion articles, general news, and we'll be running a few competitions shortly.
We will. You can cash in on those competitions by going to the site and voting in the polls that they have up there, and also through this podcast. We're going to have some competitions. We'll have details of how you can get in touch with us here at the Football Sack. On today's show, we're going to talk briefly about the World Cup. Well, briefly, it's going to be basically the basis of the show, and the Socceroos' chances. So we'll talk about that and have a few laughs and make a few bad jokes as we go.
Sounds like a plan.
So strap yourselves in. We will start, as I said, with a tournament that's being played in South Africa. It's the Rugby World Cup.
Oh.
No, it's not the World Cup. No. It's the Football World Cup. It is that time every 4 years where a World Cup fever sweeps the globe. And let's start off by analysing our boys' chances. What do you think?
It's going to be tough, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Mm. I'm quite pessimistic. I don't like to be. And come the tournament, I will be Mr. Optimism and trying to talk us up. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I don't see us getting out of the group.
No, it's going to be very, very hard.
What most people don't seem to see is that Serbia and Ghana are very good teams.
Oh, they are.
And everyone just seems to think that Germany is the only one we're up against. So, you know, let's see. I just don't think our tactic of... You know what Pim Verbeek's tactic reminds me of? You know when you play, like, Football Manager and you're managing, say, like, Leeds in League One and you get drawn in the FA Cup against Arsenal and you think, my best chance to win this game is to just go ultimate defensive.
Ultimate defensive and hope... click counter-attack.
Yeah, and hope to hit them on the counter or maybe get a penalty or score from a corner and win 1-0. That's Pim Verbeek's real life tactic, I think.
Which is, it's wonderful on Football Manager because you don't have to watch it. You just watch the goals.
That's right, yeah, that's right. You can just skip it and go, oh, we got beaten. Unfortunately, we have to sit there and watch the Socceroos play, which isn't always fun. That New Zealand game was terrible.
It wasn't the full strength side, but you said
before this podcast. I say before this podcast, we had a crack at doing a podcast, and so we had a glitch in the system, and we've had to come through and do it again. So if some of the jokes sound staged, they probably are. Which the sad thing about the jokes are that we will know they're not funny, and I will probably go through and say them again. The Denmark game was better. And the USA game was very entertaining, whilst very scary.
Yes, it's we actually enjoyed a Socceroos game for the first time in a few years.
Yeah.
Well, apart from the Ireland game, that was
the Ireland game was great.
It gave us all hope that was how Pim would be playing in the World Cup.
Reece Williams was terrific in that game and didn't make the squad, which apparently is not really due to form. It's an injury thing. As my phone beeps away, the professional that I am. Mm-hmm. So I'll throw that away. Our lack of pace at the back was...
Well, and anywhere, really.
Well, yeah, good point. Which is why Rukavits here, why doesn't he get a decent amount of time to run at these defenders?
Well, it was a refreshing change to see him on the field, wasn't it?
He was really good. Even Vidasic was quite good.
Actually, I don't mind him.
I really have been anti-Vidasic for quite some time. I thought he was average at Queensland Raw. Mm-hmm. His dad is like the assistant coach or something at the Queensland Raw. And I sort of thought it's a bit of nepotism where he's been brought through and given a go. He's gone off to Germany, to Nuremberg, and spent the season out on loan at a different club. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Nuremberg, meanwhile, were fighting relegation. And it's a bit of a slap in the face to you as a player, I think, if your coach says, okay, we have a group of players here who are struggling to prove that they're good enough to be in this league, and I don't think you're good enough to be in this squad of players. But, it, you know, credit where it's due, he's come on against New Zealand and mm-hmm. scored a very good finish as well. It was a nice little finish. And also played, I thought, quite well against the USA the other night. Again, just a bit of pace, something a little bit different to what we normally offer. So I am throwing away my Vidicic cynicism.
For the World Cup, at least.
I am on the Vidicic bandwagon, and I am almost on the Holman bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Almost,
oh, yes,
because
actually.
He was quite good against Denmark. Richard Garcia has now played the last two games, and I don't think he's actually got a touch. Has he had a touch?
I think he had a touch, but his second touch was a tackle, I think.
Yeah, that's right. His second touch is always a tackle. He's like Carlton Cole. He got a touch at one point. It hit him in the hip. He was facing the wrong way at a goal kick. Schwarzer stepped up and kicked it into his back. But it was a good touch. It was an assist. One of the USA players scored, obviously. That didn't really happen. What I'm trying to say is I don't think Richard Garcia is a very good player.
No, there's a reason why he's playing for Hull and not starting.
That's right, there's a reason why he wasn't deemed good enough for West Ham.
Oh, was he an ex-West Ham player?
He was in the FA Cup youth team with Rio Ferdinand, Michael Carrick, Frank Lampard, Joe Cole, Jermaine Defoe. They were all in a team together. He was at Michael Carrick's wedding recently. They're best mates. So, Michael, can we have some of your talent? can you give a little bit to Richard? I don't think Richard Garcia will play that first game.
No, I don't think he's going to have much involvement.
No,
really.
I think Brett Holman will get his spot if Emerton's not fit.
Yes.
Harry Kewell. Let's talk Harry Kewell. Everyone else in the world is. Well, yeah, everyone else in Australia is.
That's it.
The Australia's most talked about groin. I love Harry Kewell. I'm just going to throw it out there. He was one of my heroes as a boy. I hope he doesn't start against Germany because he will break down.
Yes, okay.
I would like to see him play 20 minutes off the bench in all three group games.
Okay.
Cool. I think that's our best tactic.
Mm-hmm. So maybe not like last World Cup where he came on for the last group game?
He started the first game.
Okay.
Came on against Brazil and started the Croatia game and didn't kick a ball for 12 months. I have a story about that, actually, which I'll share with the listeners. And listeners, whenever anybody says to you, Harry Kewell is soft and doesn't like playing for Australia, you tell them this story, okay?
Is this the Craig Foster story?
This is the Craig Foster story, yes. Craig Foster told us this story. At the last World Cup, Harry Kewell, the day before the game, the physio told Hoos Hiddink he was gone, his foot was about to fall to pieces, his groin was about to tear. Hoos went to Harry, said, I've heard what the physio has to say, what are your thoughts? Harry said, start me, give me an hour. I'll give you everything I've got. And he did, and after an hour, Australia was 2-1 down. Hoos got up to call him over. Harry said, I'm not coming off the field while we're in a position where we're going out of the World Cup. A few minutes later, his foot fell apart, as the physio said. A few minutes after that, his groin tore away from the bone. He couldn't run.
They actually saw him on the ground at one stage.
Yeah, that's right. And because Craig sort of said, because the SBS cameras were focused down the other end of the field, when Australia was defending, Harry would just sit on the halfway line and get up for our attack. And for him to score that goal to get us through and didn't play football for the next year. It cost him his Liverpool contract. Mm. And yet people will come out and say, oh, he picks and chooses his game for the Socceroos, Harry Kewell.
Wow.
Yeah. So Harry, Australian legend.
Yes.
Yeah, I just think our best chance is Pim's tactic of bore the other team to sleep and then hopefully score while they're having a quick nap about 20 minutes in the second half. By maybe bringing on Harry, because by that stage their keeper won't have had a touch. It will have been, with the 15-minute half time, he's looking at what's 460. He's looking around about 80 minutes since he's touched the football. Their keeper, he's going to be asleep. Harry can come on and have a shot. I think we could nick that. I think we could nick that. Let's go through the World Cup.
Yes.
As a whole, and all the groups, and we'll analyse who we think is going to get out of the group. So, Group A, South Africa, the hosts, the Mexicans, the Uruguayans, and the French. We discussed beforehand saying we'd love to see the French finish stone motherless last of the group, but we both kind of think they might do okay. You think Mexico might get through, don't you?
Well, yes. I was saying I think Uruguay will top the group.
We'll top it.
Well, they'll make it. Yeah. They'll make it. And then I said Mexico, though I would like to see South Africa.
You'd like
in
to
there.
See South Africa. Yeah, that's right. That's what you said. I went for France and South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Bafana.
Bafana. And the Vuvuzelas. Because it's just good for a World Cup if the hosts get through.
Yes. And like we said before, they didn't exactly play badly in the Confederations Cup.
They held their own very well, actually. Who was in their group for the Confederations Cup?
They
had Spain in their group.
They had
didn't
Spain
they?
In their group. Spain, New Zealand, and
which confederation are we forgetting about? There'd be an Asian country.
Yeah, there would have been an Asian country. Would have been Iraq.
Yeah, that's right, exactly, yeah. How good are we?
Oh, we're pretty amazing.
We don't have notes here, people. Group B.
Or a plan, for that matter.
Shh. Don't give it away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Group B, Argentina, Nigeria, South Korea, and Greece. We thought it would be Argentina, and I said Nigeria, you think Greece.
Yes, possibly Greece. Yeah. They do a replay at the 2004, defence and hope for a header.
That's right, yeah. I can't see them getting through. I can't see Korea getting through. It's almost Nigeria, almost by default, really. And the fact that they're playing in Africa. Though it is the peak of winter over there, so the African team's not like there's going to be scorching days. I don't think they'll get a massive advantage out of that. Group C, England, USA... That's all that needs to be said,
yeah.
No. They're both getting through, aren't
they? Of course. It's just a matter of who's going to finish on top.
It is, yeah.
So I think we had different views on that, but...
You hope England crash and burn at the World Cup, don't you?
Possibly. Yeah. Well, I hope they play us in the second round.
So, I support England when we're not playing them.
Yes, okay.
Just because growing up following the World Cups, we were never there.
So, who else?
That's right. And I knew all the players because of the Premier League. Obviously, I'm a West Ham fan, etc. And they have a history because they single-handedly won the World Cup for England, as Ian Hammer will tell you, in 66. So, you know, I will be supporting them as well at the tournament. But if we get them in the second round, I would love it. Absolutely love it. Because if we get them in the second round and win, they once and for all have to shut up about their B team playing half a game against us London in that friendly. Because they will always say, oh, is that a B team?
The funny thing was the A team played the first half.
The A team
were
2-0 down. The B team got you a point. Group D, our group. Germany.
Yes.
Serbia. Ghana. On the Australian note, we should also just give a mention. News has just come through this morning that goalkeeper Brad Jones will be flying home from the tournament. He has a child who is very, very sick. So we wish, obviously, Brad and his family all the best.
Of course.
And hope for a very speedy recovery for the young one. Obviously, it's something that hopefully doesn't affect the group too much at the World Cup. Because it's kind of things like that that put football in its place a little bit.
Yes.
But obviously moving on beyond that. Yeah, can't we get out of the group? Can't we? It's up for grabs, really.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is.
It's one of the most wide open groups.
I think. Is our last game against Serbia?
Yes.
I
kind of have been saying for a while that I think the Serbia game will be the Croatia game from the last World Cup.
Yes.
I think it will probably... It might be like Serbia might need a draw to get through and we need a win or something, but I've got a feeling that we will go into that last game knowing what we have to do.
Yes.
And knowing what won't be good enough. And hey, we're Australia. We might be able to pull through. So...
Football, anything can happen. So.
Exactly. Group E, the Netherlands, Denmark, Japan, and Cameroon. We think the Dutch are through.
Yes.
And I said Cameroon, and did you agree?
If they could get rid of the African defence.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. African, the Africans... as a continent when it comes to football are kind of like when you played at the playground at school and just everyone was a striker.
Yes.
Everyone was a striker. Which is, you could say about South America a little bit as
a
well.
A little bit. Yeah. The
better teams organise themselves.
African teams typically very flair players, very disorganised in the back. Yeah. African Cup of Nations is a perfect example.
So. Yeah, you get some great goals at that time, don't you?
did you watch the comeback? It was a team of 4-0 up.
Oh, goodness gracious, yeah. It was Egypt and, who was it? Someone was 4-0 up with like 10 minutes to go and they drew 4-4-all. That was unbelievable. Mm. And it was just straight away after the game, there was match-fixing allegations. Oh, dear. Yeah, that was like the equivalent of that cricket test in Sydney where Pakistan just fell in a heap on the last day and Australia won.
So the Gilchrist at 149, not out?
No, that was in Hobart. That was, it was the one just gone, the summer just gone.
Oh, okay.
At the SCG they just set back. And Cameron Akmal dropped like three catches, dropped Hussey three times on his way to 100, something like that.
We cover all sports at the Football Sec.
Very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable. If you would like a sport to be discussed on the Football Sec other than football, email us at info@thefootballsec.com. We'll have more on the email address later on.
Yes.
Group F, the Italians, our nemesis from the last World Cup and the reigning champions, it must be said. Paraguay, New Zealand, and the Slovaks.
The Slovaks, yes. My dark horse.
Yeah, Christian has singled out the Slovaks for his dark horse, not to win, but to do well at the tournament. They are... Who would we sort of... They could be your South Korea... South Korea in 2002.
Yes.
You know, punch well above their weight. Who did well in Germany? Ghana made the second round, but so did we. You sort of got to get to the quarterfinals to have a legendary. Yeah. Like Cameroon in Italian 90.
Yes.
You know, when they made the quarterfinals, that was your case of a dark horse doing really well at a tournament. Obviously, we discussed 2002. Who would have been the dark horse that did well in 2006? Ukraine, probably. They made the quarterfinals.
They did it in an unspectacular
they
way.
They did it poorly, but they did it.
They did it,
yeah. They would probably have to be it, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah. So who were the other two teams in the group?
New Zealand and Paraguay.
Well, Paraguay played well last World Cup without
Paraguay
making huge
generally
highs.
Do pretty well. Mm. They made the second round in 2002 as well. Mm. Only lost to Germany in the second round, who went on to make the final. We were discussing before whether or not we'll be throwing our support behind the All Whites. I personally will. I hope they do really well. I'd love to see Schmelzy banging a few goals. It's great for the A-League if we see some names up there on the world stage scoring goals and getting results, you know.
It would be nice to see them do well.
Really would. And you know, it's the romance of football. It's a bit like the FA Cup, you know. You never know. You're never out of it in football because it's a round ball and, well, this Jubilani ball, or whatever it may as well be a hexagon, really. Yeah. That is crazy, isn't it? That Denmark game the Socceroos played, where it was our first game at altitude with this ball, it was like the player's first touch was like they were trying to control a balloon. It was just ricocheting off their shins, and Schwarzer looked all at sea, and it's slightly sort of troubling because our two big strengths going into this tournament were Tim Cahill at corners and Schwarzer as a goalkeeper.
And both involved the ball in flight.
Both involved the ball in flight, exactly.
It's funny. Would it be as bad if it wasn't played at altitude? Like, altitude is bad enough.
Apparently not, because they've been using a similar ball, well, pretty much the same ball, in the Bundesliga and in the Europa League, which Schwartz has been playing. He made the final.
Not,
it's the altitude, because apparently you kick it, it just keeps going at altitude or something like that. Which is quite funny because we were the first team to arrive out of all the apart from South Africa. We've spent 2 weeks at altitude, getting used to this ball at altitude. The Germans, they haven't left Germany yet. They fly out in the next couple of days. Okay. I'm thinking, how good is this? Well done, FFA. You've planned ahead. We're going to be so much better at altitude than the Germans. our game against Germany is like at sea level.
Oh.
That's, yeah.
Well done, FFA.
Oh, that's, that one is a bit strange. A little bit strange. Mm. So, Group G, the group of death.
Group of death.
Every World Cup has a group of death, and this is certainly it. Mm-hmm. I think even at the last World Cup, there almost really wasn't a, an out-and-out group of death, because you had groups where there was two big teams, but not one where there was three. And Group F, Group G, is definitely that. We have Brazil, the Ivory Coast, and Portugal, and North Korea.
North Korea, yes.
With the goalkeeper gate. Yeah, that's right.
And crowd gate.
Crowd gate. A lot of you will know about goalkeeper gate, where they've selected a striker and named him as a goalkeeper in the hope of sort of just FIFA not noticing. North Korea have also hired 1,100 Chinese actors to come in and pose as their renter crowd, which is unbelievable.
Oh, it's just not to mention the delayed broadcast of World Cup matches in North Korea.
I didn't know this, but Christian told me just before that, yeah, they're not showing the matches live because obviously they want to censor what the North Korean public see from the outside world, and they're not showing games unless they win.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Because
they won't see a game.
That's right. They won't see a game from the World Cup. Absolutely unbelievable. To get out of the group, though, I don't think... We didn't cover who we thought was going to get out of Italy's group. Italy and Slovakia, you would say, because they're your dark horse. I'm going to say Italy and Paraguay.
Okay, cool.
For the group of death, Brazil and Cote d'Ivoire, we think if Drogba plays.
Yes, if Drogba plays. Again, I think we said the Portugal are past their best.
Yeah, yeah, we think they've kind of peaked sort of 4 years ago, and didn't take their chance. Well, it's a bit harsh because we say they didn't take their chance. They made the final of the European Championships, and 4 years later, or 2 years later, made the semifinals of a World Cup. Did pretty well for themselves.
That's, yes,
for a country Portugal size.
Did they get beaten by France both times?
No, well, it was Greece in the European Championships.
Oh, of course. Sorry, what am I thinking? Yes.
And France in the semifinal of the World Cup. Mm. So yeah, we think Cote d'Ivoire and Brazil will get out of that. And Group H, Spain, Switzerland, Honduras, Chile, Spain, and who do we think? We think it's out of Chile.
Chile and Switzerland. Yes.
Can Switzerland bore their way through to the second round?
We mentioned Switzerland didn't concede a single goal last World Cup.
Didn't score one either.
But then on the other hand, in the Euros, they conceded plenty.
I can't remember one of their games for the Euros.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very exciting.
Whose group were they in?
I honestly couldn't remember. Yeah. Maybe someone could help us out.
If you know what group Switzerland were in the Euro 2008, they were one of the hosts. It was Austria and Switzerland.
Austria and Switzerland.
If you know who was in their group, was France in their group?
I'd just be throwing stones. I really
wouldn't know. If you know, email the show at info@thefootballsack.com. Give us your name, and the first correct entry to get through, we'll get back to you.
We will.
We're gonna set up a prize. This is our first podcast, where hopefully by next week we'll have a prize set up. Maybe something with Betfair. We would like to thank our sponsors, Betfair. If you go to our website, thefootballsack.com, you'll see a link to Betfair. So click on the link, join up, create an account with Betfair, and cash in on Group H, because Spain, this is my value bet for the World Cup. Now you won't get great value for a lot of teams to win the World Cup. You're going to have to go out on a limb and pick something slightly askew. For Spain to qualify, you'll get bugger all.
Yes.
Bugger all value. But at Betfair, if you go and click on Spain to win all three games, which they will beat Switzerland, Honduras, and Chile with their eyes closed, it pays quite handsomely. So go in, open a $30 account at Betfair, and throw some money on Spain to win all three games, and go buy yourself a steak dinner, and thank us by emailing us at info@thefootballsack.com.
And everything will be wonderful.
That's the World Cup covered.
World Cup. Well done.
We did extremely well to get through that in 24 minutes.
Yes, nice.
Did well. We will move briefly to domestic matters, because obviously the Football Sack devotes a lot of its time to the A-League and the Asian Champions League. And we can say how the Football Sack were amongst the first to break the news about Sydney FC's new tournament of football.
Yes, it was very exciting, our first media conference, and we just thought we'd hit it up with a bang, get in there nice and early with some quality reporting from Matty G.
Yeah, Matt, the other co-founder of the Football Sack, went along to, we were invited to Sydney FC's press conference to announce their launch of their tournament of football, and he went along. He had a chat with Alex Brosk, who thought the name the Football Sack was quite good.
Yeah, it's had a little laugh. We got some exclusive quotes from him at the website.
Exactly. So if you want to see those exclusive quotes from Alex Brosk, Sydney FC and Socceroos striker Alex Brosk, go to thefootballsack.com and check on those. We are big movers and shakers in the football world now.
We are. Yeah. We're major players.
We are. We got an invite to Melbourne Victory's press conference this afternoon.
Yes.
Apparently, this afternoon, they're going to announce... we should let people know this is Monday, the 7th of June. They are going to announce the signing of a major player, which is quite exciting. Well, I'm just trying to sort of think, you know, because traditionally a major player in the A-League has always been an attacker.
Yes.
They've still got Archie Thompson. Is Danny Allsop coming back?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think he's gone. That's why they bought Robbie Cruz.
Yeah, because he went to, like, the Middle East or something.
Al Jazeera something like that. So
that's where Michael Beauchamp was as well.
I think so, yes. And now Beauchamp's come to heart.
He has. They're getting a nice little
squad
together.
They've got a very, very solid squad.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
a nice. Solid coach as well.
And a solid kit. It's good to see some more stripes in the A-League.
We need
How
stripes.
How good was Wellington Phoenix's kit
last year? I saw it. Yeah, it was amazing.
Last year, the black and gold stripes, that's what they should have had their first season.
That's true.
And the kit was terrific. Melbourne Heart, red and white stripes. You know,
have you seen their away kit?
I haven't. What's
it's
Melbourne
like
Heart?
The Santos, the red stripe.
Diagonally. Oh, really? The sash kind of. Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, that's good. I like that. Yeah. I think it's great. They obviously down there they've got that great new stadium.
Yes.
Melbourne is going to just be a buzz with football come the A-League.
They're very cheap season tickets too. If you're a student, concession, $150 season ticket.
No way.
Oh, serious.
For Melbourne Heart.
For Melbourne Heart. Get into it.
I'll
say about buying one. I don't even live in Melbourne.
I would.
Yes.
Yeah. If I was like in, you know, Ballarat or something like that, I would go down there and watch for $150. How many home games do you get?
It's 15. It's $10 a game.
How good is that?
That's amazing.
If you have thoughts on... if you have a season ticket to an A-League club or follow an A-League club, get in touch with us and tell us why. And tell us about your match day rituals for the A-League by emailing us here at the show at info@thefootballsack.com. $150 is great because... Do you have a season ticket up at the Gold Coast?
I don't have a season ticket at the Gold Coast, though. A friend has kindly given me his box seat up at the Queensland Roar this year.
Oh, really?
Really?
Wow, you've done well.
I have.
I'm thinking I might get the...
Brisbane Roar, I should say.
Brisbane Roar, that's right, yeah. Because you're an old school fan and you were there from the start, it's kind of like how, you know, how at West Ham... our ground used to be called the Bowling Ground, and because it's in Upton Park, it's more commonly been known as Upton Park, but the hardcore fans still call it the Bowling Ground. You're like the hardcore fan that still calls Brisbane Roar
Queensland
Roar.
I've tried to get out of it. Even though they have three Queensland clubs now in the A-League, I can't stop myself, so
I don't know why they had to change it, to be honest. Raw isn't a great name.
it's not, but as a fan, I have to hold it dear to me.
I do enjoy going to Suncorp Stadium to watch football. It is very entertaining. We are doing a challenge where we're going to go and see every A-League club play in the space of nine days.
We're going all the way from Townsville north all the way down to Melbourne and Adelaide with other cities in between.
Newcastle, that's right, City. Everywhere in between. And we will see every A-League club strut their stuff in the space of 9 days. We should post this on the website, the itinerary. And if you would like to join us, if it's something that interests you, it's very cheap too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we worked out flights, only $444.
Exactly, yeah.
And accommodation was quite low as well, under two. Under 200.
Brilliant.
So you're $600 to $700 for the trip of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And yeah, if we can get some sponsors on board, we might run a competition for someone to win the fourth seat.
How good's that? Come with us on our escapade around Australian football and see some good footballing livestock, because there's going to be some good players in next year's A-League.
Well, while we're on, do we want to talk about your personal challenge?
Let's talk about my personal challenge. Back to the Football World Cup. I have been challenged and have accepted the challenge to watch in full every minute of all 64 matches of the FIFA World Cup coming up starting next week, and it is going to ruin my life. but I'm going to do it, because it only comes around every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a time where I'm on uni break for the first 3 weeks of the tournament, so I've got nothing else to do. So I may as well. I'll never be in a better position to do it. So I'm throwing the kitchen sink at it. I've got a lot of people who've jumped on board on the challenge. I've got naysayers betting against me. I've got friends who are supporting me all the way, and they're throwing a few beers in to hopefully get me through. Or you're one of them. You've thrown your support behind me, and you're going to throw a few brews in. And obviously, you'll come around and watch a few games and share those brews. And it's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward to it. I've got some mates from all sorts of different countries that'll come around when their respective sides are playing. So I can't wait. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be tiring.
Yes, of course. I just said the ABC are going to feature you straight after.
Yeah, I've done some interviews with the ABC radio here on the North Coast.
That's not as exclusive as interviews with the Football Sack.
Not as, yeah, that's right. I will keep you posted on the. It's midday right now. We're doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. In about 3 weeks' time, I will just start snoring halfway through a midday podcast, because my body will be telling me it's the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. I think there's a few games there that stick out as painful ones, though. That Honduras Chile at 4:30 in the morning is it's going to be tough. But you can always make sport more interesting by betting.
Oh, of course. And who's the best people to bet with, Creed?
The best people to bet with and the fairest people to bet with are Betfair. So go to our website and click on the Betfair link and open up an account and start betting today and start winning today.
Of course.
Well, that's all the major news for the A-League, I think we've covered.
Yes, I think so.
Briefly touched on Melbourne Heart. That's about all we talked about.
Pretty much. Well. We want to mention the four teams in the tournament. The Sydney FC tournament.
We did. Well, I kind of brushed on how we got an invite to their press conference and didn't talk about the press conference or what they announced. Sydney FC have announced that they will be holding a pre-season tournament. Everton are coming to Australia as well. We need to touch on that. But Sydney FC are hosting a pre-season tournament, which will involve Blackburn Rovers of the English Premier League, Rangers of the Scottish Premier League, and Athens of the Greek League.
AEK Athens. So,
huge, three big clubs.
And a really good mix, I think.
Because we'll have sort of, Blackburn Rovers will play good football, AEK Athens will play interesting football, and Rangers will play horrible football, but will bring huge crowds.
Yes.
Did you go to the Celtic-Brisbane Roar game last year?
I missed it. I was actually coaching that day.
They packed Suncorp Stadium. Mm. There was like 30,000 people for a pre-season friendly, and 25,000 were Celtic fans.
Yes.
And a few mates of mine drove up and went to the game and just said it was awesome. It was a terrific atmosphere. Mm. So hopefully it's the same deal. I think I might fly down and go to a couple of the matches.
Yeah, well, I'm actually thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. It's in a space of, I think, 5 days, all the matches.
Do Everton play Sydney FC?
They do. I think a week before for the tournament.
Might just go down there and spend a week in Sydney.
Yeah, well, why not? Well, I think the cheapest tickets for the 4-day tournament is that you can get day tickets. It's two matches, all double headers. $29 is the cheapest.
How good is that? That's amazing. Can't lose at the football stadium?
At the football stadium, yeah.
Aussie Stadium in Paddington. Get yourself along. Support what is a really good sort of venture by Sydney FC. They've come out and announced that they're going to do this. And they've announced it's going to be an annual thing.
Annual thing. Try to get different teams every year.
And the teams are going to change each year, which is great. I think that's terrific. Yeah, so
only good for football.
That's right. Get down, support it, and drive another nail in the coffin of Aussie Rules and Rugby League. we like Aussie Rules and Rugby League. But
yeah, we don't mind it.
Yeah. Rugby's okay. I think that'll do us for the show. It's been a very good show. We've 34 minutes. Well done.
34 minutes. Oh, yeah. Very nice.
So we were aiming for about a 35-minute podcast to start us off. So that was the first podcast of the Football Sack. I've been your host, Jack Quigley. With me has been Christian Leyland.
Thank you, Jack.
We'll be back next week with another show. So thanks for listening. We will see you next week.